Hi everybody, it's September 3rd, 2019, and this is Practical Applications, our seventh call in the series, our seventh and second last call, and we're going to begin in Shavasana as we do. So take the time to make space, ideally on the floor, somewhere where there's no walls, no furniture, no things around you. Because even if something is just a few inches away, our body's tendency is to recoil from that thing and we shrink. Whereas in Shavasana, we want the space to expand. So lying on your back, if you're driving, of course, it's always pull over. And if you can't be lying down, you do a seated meditation, but always ideally lying on your back, bend your knees, take the flesh of the buttocks toward the heels, making space through the low back. Then extend one heel out and then the other. Release all the toes to the floor. Baby toes fall to the floor first. The rest of the toes follow. Let the legs be comfortable. Let them release. Then bend the elbows, dig the elbows into the floor, lift and open the heart center, and then release the arms to the earth. The arms are in a low V, palms up position. Notice how soft the fingers are. When the body is relaxed, when you are relaxed, the fingers naturally curl. Just notice what your fingers feel like today. Have you been holding tension there and therefore in other places in the body? Can you let that go now? If you haven't already, you can softly close your eyes. Take this time for yourself today, letting go of whatever came before. Just finding ease here in the body, mind, spirit. Take this time for you. Behind closed eyes, just scan the body for any tension. And wherever you find tension, breathe into that spot. Just breathe there and let it go. Feel that healing and restorative power to the breath. When we send breath there, things change. Feel where else you may be holding tension. Just notice. Breathe into that spot as well. Let that tension go. And then feel the pull of gravity, releasing the whole body to the earth. Let the legs be heavy. Let the arms be heavy. The chest is light. Feel how when you release the tension in the palms of the hands, let the palms of the hands be soft. How that sense of ease can travel up the arms, through the forearms, the upper arms, into the shoulders, neck, and throat. Find softness, ease. Notice how the breath releases. So just a little more ease in the breath as the arms and hands and shoulders release. Can you notice without trying to change anything? Notice without judgment, just see what is. Watch the breath. Be curious about the breath with the curiosity of a child. Acute attention. Noticing moment by moment where the breath is, how it feels today. Becoming the witness consciousness. Often we mistake ourselves for the thoughts that pass through. We think we are our thoughts. But we're clearly not our thoughts. There's someone watching the thoughts. Who is that? There's someone watching the breath. You're the witness consciousness. Something deeper beyond the thoughts. Watch the breath. If thoughts arise, as thoughts will, gently, without judgment, let them go. It's truly unimportant right now. So your focus is on the breath. And then allow the breath to deepen. Place the hands on the torso. Feel the gentle movement of breath. Slowly, slowly bend the knees. Give yourself a big hug. Rocking gently, slowly, side to side to massage the lower back. And then roll over onto the right side. Support your head with the upper arm and wait. When you open your eyes, let the gaze be soft, unfocused, just a few inches ahead of you on the floor. Keeping the gaze toward the floor, slowly press yourself up to sitting and return to our virtual circle. As always, camera on whenever you can. Trains that one-pointed attention that we need for every moment in our business. Welcome, Sherry, first to arrive visually, coming back to our virtual circle. And then as you're coming back, let's hear from one or two of you. What did you love here? What stayed with you today? I can see three of you now. Sherry, Mary Kay, Marla, welcome. Who would like to begin? What did you love today? Mary Kay and then Sherry, thank you.
Well, I came in late and went right into it, which was really cool. And then the two sides of my face, I realized were different, and then they came together, and I guess you might say we're fully present.
You know, it's so funny. The more present we become, the more we're paying attention to those minute details. The more, and you know, it's, wow, it seemed even before, but it wasn't even. No, it's just that now we're feeling it. Now we're paying attention. I love that. It's beautiful. And then that coming together into balance, this practice brings balance, because we become first aware of the imbalances, and then we bring things to that center line. Yeah, beautiful. Thanks, Mary Kay. Sherry, how about you?
So I too came into it late. And so I started actually in a seated position and went right into the breathing, sort of continuing where I'd left off a breathing meditation this morning. And what I really got is that every time I do this, doesn't mean it's a fresh beginning. It's a continuation of what I have done before, and I can easily step into it because I have done it before.
I love that. And that's never been said here before. And that's really, really true. Actually, both are true. We want that fresh beginning, like Zen mind, beginner's mind, that we actually begin freshly and newly. And then also, like you say, another way to look at it is it's not new, or it's not a fresh beginning at all. There's a continuation. There's a practice. And most, or perhaps all of you, might not remember, I've been doing this daily. I've missed a handful of days since 2006. So it's a long time. And the practice deepens. It doesn't mean that a particular practice feels deeper necessarily. Sometimes my mind might be really busy. Another time it settles quickly, but there is a continuation, like you spoke of, Sherry. It's beautiful, so that I can drop into Shavasana much more quickly. So, you know, maybe one would have been like this before, and now it's like this, right? Or maybe it goes from this to very quickly, it can settle. So it's, it really is a cumulative practice. And I can get amazing results the very first time I do this. I love what Dottie brought to us, her first experience. It was amazing. It's like, oh my goodness, I've not felt this before. That was incredible. And then also the cumulative effect over days and months and years is astonishing, and gives us power for challenging moments in our business, gives us power when we're speaking to people, gives us power to make a very different and a deeper level of decision in a much that we can come to much more quickly, and that comes from a much more rooted place because we're paying attention. Yeah, love it. Okay, so and once again, I have more of you that I can't see that I know are here but can't see than I can see. So if you're in a place where you can turn on your camera, that'd be fantastic. And there comes two of you. Thank you. Awesome. Appreciate that. Then I can actually see you, and I can see how you're doing so much better. Just pouring myself some water here. Give me for a moment here. I would love to hear from you a couple of wins. Who's got something that's rolling for you? And remember, some of you were going off to create your talk. Some of you are off going to do a talk. Some of you were creating offers and going off to give offers. And I gave you that challenge last time, which was just a few days ago now. Remember I said, if we're not making offers, we don't have a business. And we have the ideal client. We talked about who your ideal client was just last time, not at the very beginning of this series, because the whole idea is to get out there, get on the court, start talking to people, and then we have better and better ideas of what my offer is, what my talk is, who my ideal client is, all those things when we're just out there and doing it. So who has a win to share? It could be about anything in your business, in your life, or you may want to talk about some, if someone has a win, either in that area of making an offer. Yeah, Marla, and you told us last time that you would share. So thank you for putting your hand up first.
two things. I think right after the last call, I went off to a client of mine, and at the end, I was going to ask her about doing a clinic at her place. We talked about it a little bit. And before I could say anything, she asked if I would do a clinic at her place.
Marla, I am so freaking happy for you. And thank you for modeling that. That's so beautiful. That so often happens that way. When we're ready, when we're out there and doing it, it's like the universe just brings it to us because there's something the universe knows we really need now. And then they just, then it's like so much easier. You don't actually even have to do it. She does it for you. How beautiful is that? I'm so happy for you. Congratulations. Love that. Did you say there were two things?
There are two things.
Oh my goodness. Not even not just, right?
I'm on the Certified Horsemanship Association podcast in 2 weeks.
I love it, Marla. Thank you so very much. And tell us, have you done like 50,000 podcasts before?
No.
Well, what do you know? Have you done like 36 podcasts before?
No, I'm doing a presentation at the national meeting and it's in relationship to that, but it's about that
presentation.
You're doing
a presentation and then you're getting interviewed for a podcast. This is fantastic. And you can use all these things that we've been learning here. And also you just are getting booked, getting out there and things are coming your way. I love it. Thank you. Every time we hear it from another person in the community, it's like, oh, wait, I'm just doing it. And it's happening to me. And it's like, these things don't happen by accident. They seem like accidents at the moment. And that particular thing that happened that way maybe is an accident. But I remember one of my early teachers, he said, you know, accidents are God's way of remaining anonymous or whatever your language is about. Accidents are the universe's way that, you know, I'm just going to meet you here now, Marla. The universe's way, our highest self, or the best in us, whatever your words are for something that is bigger than just this everyday self that we think is us. So love it, love it, love it. Thank you, Marla. And oh, wait, just let me unmute you one more time. So, and this was really, really hard landing both of these, right? Like you had to work for a long time to figure out exactly how you were going to talk to her about it, what you were going to say so that you could make that offer to her so that, right? The one who asked for the clinic, it was really hard, right?
Not in the end. Getting myself to do it was.
Right. And then she just asked you, and what about the podcast? I bet you had to go out and knock on like 50,000 doors before you finally found the one who would finally interview for your podcast. Am I right? Because that's always the way it works in this community, right? How was that?
I had to get my nerve up and ask to do a presentation.
Got it. And you asked what, like 50,000 people, right? And then finally the 50,001, because that's not a word, person said yes.
They asked for presenters and I said, I could do that.
Oh, I see. Thank you, Marla. I love it. Beautiful.
So, and I would not have probably have even considered it before. So
I love it. I'm so happy for you. This is magnificent. Thank you. All right. I'm going to meet your line again. Let's hear another win. What's rolling for you now? And often if you don't think, oh, Sherry's right up there. Perfect. But you guys know, if you don't think you have a win, it's a great time to raise your hand. You might not even know what you're going to say. And Sherry's got it here. Go, Sherry.
So I have a couple also. And one of them really started from that perspective of an offer can be anything. It doesn't have to be an offer for your course. Ah. And it just opened up a huge window for me, because then I realized, oh, well, I've been making it really hard and I've been making offers all along. And this
slow down some, because I just, that's so important for everybody here that's picking up from last call, right? Oh wait, offers, that thing that other people do that I'm supposed to do, that big bad, you know, it's so terrifying. And oh wait, I actually do it all the time in my life. How cool is that? I don't have to make it some big hairy deal. It's a natural part of being a human being on this earth. It's what we do as human beings. And notice I'm doing it too. Sherry, great. I just wanted to pause, make sure everybody heard it. It's so important. Go ahead.
And I was at a conference this weekend with a lot of longtime friends. And I was just having a casual conversation with someone I see frequently and asking them essentially, well, what's going on with you? And they started talking about a new business and how they had a business partner who I wound up having breakfast with 2 days later. And he was describing his business. And we started talking a little about what I do. And he said, oh, that would be such a perfect segue for some of the people that I'm working with. It's just a very natural transition. So we are going to get together and talk. It would be a perfect referral source from Ideal Coin.
Oh, I love it. I notice I'm making offers all the time already. I'm just talking to a friend and I'm practicing those listening skills that we've been focused on. All of Practical Applications is their story and not ours that matters so much, right? I'm paying attention to that friend that leads me to that next place. And all of this, then people go like, how come you're so lucky? How did you end up meeting that person? What did you do? And say, well, you know, it happens by accident, not by accident at all. You have put yourself in the places for that to happen. And how beautiful is that? It's just, I love these words that are coming up. This is a natural transition. Oh, that fits right with my clients. Oh, they're beautiful. Love it. How's that feeling for you, Sherry?
Oh, it's feeling very good. And so I will follow up with him, and I'm going on vacation. And when I come back, I'll also spend some follow-up time, maybe see about understanding a little more of the details of his business. And...
Love it. Thank you. Beautiful. So inspiring. I love hearing the wins. And then always, whether you're the one sharing the win or you're the one listening at the moment, we're always either doing one or the other, watch how you're playing. Just notice what's inside you. Oh, and Sherry, I'm just going to mute you now. Notice what's in, oops, I think we both tried to mute you, and then there we go, thanks. Notice what's inside you, because sometimes, because it tells us about the story that's going on inside, and that's an important piece of having those empowering stories, right? Because sometimes you might be listening going, well, yeah, but nothing happened to me this week. Just notice that without judgment, just like we do when a thought comes up when we're in Shavasana. It's like, oh, just that's how I am right now, right? And there's something that's not aligned. That means more time in Shavasana to bring that alignment about, right? And or it might be, it's like, wow, I'm so excited for them. That's super cool. And if it's actually really touching me like that, not because I'm forcing it, but it's like that, that means that's because it's somewhere inside me too. I can hear it in that other person because I also have that win somewhere in me who couldn't echo like that. I own that. There's some piece of that that's like me, and I can be inspired, and there's something of, you know, if they can do it, I can do it, you know? So super, super cool. So just watch how you're playing in that. It's like I say, one of my favorite parts of the whole call, to see what's rolling for you now, and how this actually works on the court. All right, I just want to open it up. Anything else burning to be said, without which we can't go forward? Any other wins wanting to be shared? Anything that's opening for you now, so we create a space, a readiness for the next step? Yeah, Carly, I thought there was something out there. Go ahead, Carly.
Well, so I recently decided to not renew the lease at my office space. It just didn't feel like it was the right place for me anymore. And I was nervous because I'm like, okay, well, not finding a decent rate for another place in town right now. Well, it actually opened up something though, I think, that can be really amazing, because a contractor that I've been working with has invited me to come and share some space with him and wants to partner up on a lot of future projects. So I'm really excited about that.
Oh, I love it. And here's the piece that I would love for y'all to hear. I mean, hear the win, fantastic win. I did this. I was a little nervous, but I did it anyway. It felt right. I followed up, and it's turning out right.
Yeah.
Hearing the letting go, one of the series in the one piece of the Allow series, the letting go series, so important. And the letting go happens first.
Yeah.
And some of you may recall the very first time I was in front of an audience of 400 or 500 people, and I had just a short time to tell them one thing, like, what's one piece of advice to take them all further? And I thought about that a long time. Okay, 25, over 25 years of teaching. What do I tell them? Like, what's one thing? And so the very first time was years ago. I was like, okay, leap. What I decided on was leap, and then the net appears. But the net doesn't appear until you leap, right? It's a deep, deep, it was a deep teaching in and around letting go. I let go of that thing because as long as I'm hanging on tight over there, it's like a trapeze, right? I can't hold on over here and then try to reach the other one. I can't reach them both at the same time. I let go. And then it's like, sometimes I feel like I'm flying in midair. It's like, oh, I don't know, but I don't have, right? That's where Carly just was. And then that new opportunity arises because it couldn't, as long as I'm just hanging on for dear life over here, right? So, and then when and how we decide to do that free flight moment, we get to choose. We get to choose. But Carly listening in is like, this feels right, and I just know this. And she's not probably in a screaming bad mood and, you know, throwing things at people when she's making that decision, I hope. Right? She's in a more aligned place. Because sometimes we get inspired, you know, as we're in that mood of throwing things at the wall and at people, and then we make a really, it feels like this is coming from inside me, and it's just like anger coming from inside us, right? But from that aligned place, and we tap into something that's inside us that's deeper than, you know, what we consciously know, and something beautiful occurs. So I love that, Carly. Thank you. Beautiful share. Okay. Anything else burning to be said, without which we can't go forward? Yeah, Mary Kay. Well, lots of stuff bubbling up today. I love it.
I just want to say everyone's comments are very apropos, and this is a big win for me. It seems little, but it's big, is that I did make a list of what an assistant, some kind of helper could do. And I actually made that list, which is a small leap anyway, in the right direction.
Oh, I love it. And don't, can you see how Mary Kay's going, well, it's small. Can you hear? Don't make it small, guys. But some part of her wants to go, but it's just little. This is huge. Because as you make this list, it's both, you know, here are the things that I'm looking for in that person. So it's a kind of practical list. It's so much more than that, though, too, because it's putting your stake in the ground, saying this person exists and I'm planning for them to come into my life. And it's also envisioning who they might be. Some of you may have heard this story. This happened to me over 3 years ago now. I knew that I needed a personal assistant, and I'd worked really hard to find one. Because again, we talked about last time, we need people, we need leverage, right? So people, I knew that I needed a personal assistant, and I'd hired four people in the position before, and they kind of sort of were okay, but they worked for a little while until they didn't work. And I actually got gun shy for a year or two. I didn't hire somebody in that position. I don't recommend that, but that's what happened to me. I'm just being honest. And one of my teachers said, well, you know, have you taken the time to envision who that person is, which is exactly what you're doing when you're creating a list of the things you're going to do. It's one of the things you're doing is you're envisioning them. She said, Michelle, you know, and it's what I teach, but was I doing it? Have you envisioned who that person is? And I started seeing her the way J.K. Rowling would see Harry Potter, right? I started to see her. And this might even sound, I don't know, kind of strange, but she just came to me. And I even knew, I don't know why I knew that, but I among other things I saw about her, I knew that she probably had a background as a nanny. I knew she was probably, had a background as a nanny. I knew she was from the Philippines. I mean, these funny things came to me, right? And that's who it turned out she was. I don't know why I saw that. I don't know how, but I just trusted it. And my teacher told me, you know, Michelle, it could be easy. What if it could just be easy? Because I'd worked so hard and I, you know, interviewed people and then they weren't the right people and I tried them out. I was working too hard. And the way that I found Vilya, and she worked for me for a while, then sent her friend to me and then went away. And then now she's back working for me again. I was so excited. Vilya's back working for me again. And it was literally a walk in the park. I lived in a different place then a few years ago. And there was a park 3 blocks away. And I just had, on an impulse, decided to go for a walk. And in the park, there was one of those, you know, those old-fashioned, a piece of paper. And if you want to get in touch with me, phone this number. And there's all the phone numbers, right? And it was like looking for a job as a cleaner or as a nanny. And here's the phone number. As soon as I saw that piece of paper, I thought, I think that's her. And that was how I met Vilya. It's like a little piece of paper. I talked to her for a half an hour the day after she came to my place, and she, here she is like 3 years later working in my home. And her friend also works for me now too. She's just, you know, just outside the door in a moment, actually, as I speak here. So you, as you're making this list, Mary Kay, you are bringing that person into being. And one of the things I want to say too, and this is going to connect with the work that we do in the opening series, which is going to come up after Story Freedom. How do we make it easy? What if it doesn't have to be so hard? How do we end up with the wind at our back? How do we actually make this stuff manifest and in ways that are kind of predictable, but it's not random that this stuff happens? And this is one piece from that. It's that I actually envision that person and I see them. And here's the thing, like for Mary Kay, that person, he or she already exists. She's been looking for you. And she's been wanting that job for a very long time. She's probably, I don't know, maybe she's within a 5 or 10 mile radius of you. I don't know. Or maybe she's where, however you envision her, right? But that person has been on this planet living for 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 years, waiting for this job to happen, and she's already there. Now you're just in the process of finding, making it easy for her to meet you. Cool, right? You create that empowering story. Well, you create the story and then go live it. And this is one of the ways you do that. Okay. I apologize. I think this is the first time this has ever happened as I'm teaching, but I was just talking about my assistant, and I have to let her in because she doesn't have my key right now. So I'm so sorry, but she's supposed to be here right now. And so in a moment, I'm going to have to run away just for a minute. Otherwise, she's going to be standing outside the door and can't do any work. And so I'm sorry if I have to check for her. She said she was going to be here at 1:45. So in 9 years of teaching, I've never had to do that before, but with apologies. All right. Okay. Anything else wanting to be said? Anything else bubbling up? Okay. So I think where I want to go, let me see. Yeah, let's go here. So I want to get us rooted right back at the very beginning of practical applications just for a moment, and with that acronym REAL, because all the words that we find in every area of our business start from Dana sitting in a room, not wanting to get up, but she gets up anyway. And why does that happen, right? Aha, and I just told you that Leia is going to be here, and she's at my front door right now. So I want you to think about that. Actually, I want you to think about, for a moment, what are all the building blocks? Like, what does that acronym REAL stand for? Why did Dana get up across the room? And what does it mean to start close in and then go to far away? Those are some of the foundations. What are the other foundational principles that you can think about that we've been working on for practical applications? So you take a moment to do your own review. While I'm up, just for a minute, you guys can even talk about it if you want to. I'll be right back as soon as I get the door, and then you will remind me of what those foundational principles are before we take it a step further again today. So I will be right back. Okay, thank you. Did you have a moment to think about it? REAL, what's that stand for? Why did Dana get up and move across the room when she really didn't want to? Foundation for speaking, foundation for offers, foundation for networking. Everywhere we use our words, what does REAL stand for? I want to keep reviewing it. And if you forget it and remember it, forget it and remember it. It will help us. It will help you remember it in the long run. Why did she get up? Yeah, Mary Kay, what do you remember?
I found my notes.
Yay, cheat sheet.
Relationship, empathy, access the word skill, know the genre, and love the genre.
Yes, exactly. So relationship, we have a prior relationship. If I were some stranger sitting there saying, hey, Dana, get up, there's no way. And we can establish that relationship with people faster than we think. With Dana, it's a 20-year relationship since she was born, right? There has to be a relationship. Empathy. It can't just be if I have that 20-year relationship with her, but she thinks I have no idea what's going on with her at the moment, still no go, right? Empathy in the moment. She could tell by the words I use and just my whole being that I knew how she felt in the moment, right? Empathy in that moment. A, access, add word skill, but I kind of like access word skill. I was kind of fudging it. I needed an A for the word real, right? So whichever way you want to call it, word skill. So often people think that word skill is is all of it. Practical applications, get results with your words. I'm going to be training around little scripts or whatever it is, but it's not, it's just one component. But I used appropriate words for her. I didn't give her, if I'd said something like, hey, Dana, let me just talk to you for 3 hours about why it's important for you to get up across the room. And here's number one, number two, number three. She would, there's no way she would have got up. I needed word skill. And in that case, the words had to be short, right? And that's related to L, love the genre. What kind of genre was I in? I wasn't speaking from the pulpit. I wasn't giving a talk. I had to understand that I was in an informal situation, whatever I want to call that situation. And the appropriate words were, hey, Dana, would you come for a moment? Like nothing more complex than that. But every single time, relationship, empathy, access, you know, word skill, and then love the genre. Those are the foundations for every speaking situation. We want to access those four pieces. All right. Then can you remember what it meant when I say start close in and then go to far away? We haven't talked about that in several classes, but I want to see if you still remember what that means. What does it mean to start close in with our words? And yeah, it's okay if you don't remember. Yeah, Marla, go ahead.
Start with the contacts we already have, the people we meet every day.
Yes, start close in. And that's why Practical Applications is organized in that way too. We start with a networking skill, with meeting people, you know, right, those direct conversations one-on-one. And if I when some people start with, you know, they're just new in business and they create a website and then they go do Facebook ads, completely backward as far as I'm concerned. It's not that that can't work, but why do it the hard way? Because if I don't even know what to say to somebody when they're right in front of me and I can watch their reactions and I'm only watching the reaction of one person, starting close in with that person, that real live breathing body person, body, mind, spirit in front of me. If I can't find the words to speak to them, if they're drifting off, if they have no, you know, if they are not paying attention and my words don't work there, how could I possibly think that they're going to work in a Facebook ad when it's a whole crowd of people that I've never met and I won't be able to see the effects of my words? So I start close in and I let that be my practice grounds. That's why we begin with networking. Then we go to speaking. Then we go to strategy sessions and sales conversations. And then today we're going to take it to online. Because once I know and I've practiced and I've played on the court, like Marla said, close in, the people around us, the people we know, then I've watched those reactions and I've adapted it what the reactions are that I'm noticing, and I'm fine tuning it in those real life situations. Only then I can go like bit by bit by bit to get further and further out, which takes more and more word skill. It's easier to be in a one-on-one conversation with somebody and watch them falling asleep, and then I take a different tack, and then I notice they wake up again, or whatever it is. Then speaking, you know, that's easier than if I speak to an audience of 500 to begin. Or maybe I'm speaking online and I can't see any of the audience. All those are higher level skills. So I build it where it's easier first and where I can get the training ground and I can get the feedback that's in real time. And different teaching from one of my teachers. I was at a workshop this summer, and some of you may recall this. What the training was at that course was, okay, get your 30-second elevator pitch and here's the exact fill in the blank that I want you to do. And now go out there and don't change it. That was the advice. And I was like, man, no, I teach the opposite of that. It doesn't mean that that can't work, but I'm like, why not make it easy? Because why would I, you know, and what was happening in the room with the people at my table anyways, it was blah pitch. Nobody could hear anything. And then afterwards they'd say, well, what I was trying to say was this. And what they said so much more informally when they were just being themselves actually made sense. So at the table informally, I was saying, I don't know what you said earlier, but that thing that you just said when you're saying, what I really mean is this, go say that, you know, so let it be alive and breathing and let it change and so that your what it is that you say to people can grow and start close in and then move to further away. Anything else that you remember as a foundational principle that you want to talk about? Those are the key ones that I wanted to mention, but anything else that comes to mind, some pieces that you've learned that you just want to presence here before we move on to some online work here? Good to go? Nothing burning inside you? Okay, good. Those are really the most important things, like keep it real and start close in, and then we'll find the words to say it. Okay, let me see. Did any of you try to post a question, by the way? Because that's two classes in a row where there have been no questions posted. And so I just want to make sure that there hasn't been some technical glitch and somebody is posting, but I didn't see it. And it's okay if you didn't post a question. I know it's summertime too, or just end of summer, beginning of fall. It can be a busy time for people or kids back to school. And that's what's happening in my house. And just want to make sure I didn't miss any questions. Okay. Let me see here. All right. Offers. We were talking about offers last time, and then today we're going to talk about some opt-in pages and starting to move that online. Do you remember what the five words were when you're making an offer? If you're in a strategy session, there are five words that really can move the needle for you. That are I was saying, like, these are really magical words, and that's because they have our foundational principles right at the heart of them. Those five magic words that really can make a difference in a strategy session. I said five words, maybe it's eight words. Marie, go ahead.
I think it's, how can I help you?
How can I help you? Sometimes it's so close that we miss it. How can I help you? And if we wanted to call it eight words, right, we can, it could be eight words. How do you think I can help you? These are crazy wonderful words, because you get in their own language, how do you think I can help you? I'm sure that I asked every single one of you some variation of that somewhere, probably somewhere near the beginning of our strategy session. How do you think I can help you? Because that's why the person is in the meeting. That's why it gives you so much information. And just to underline again, you know, doing a strategy session, it's a wonderful thing, because you're giving your time freely. That's a beautiful thing to do, whether you call it a strategy session, a discovery session, like Michelle from our community used to say, a doctor's visit, whatever the name of that thing is. It's where you're going to help people find the best next step. And it might be someone you refer them to. It might be something in their own court, or something that you can help them with. So that it's the place that opens up the possibility that you might make an offer. And you only make an offer if it's the right person in front of you who really is saying, hey, I think you can help me in this and this and that way. And they're displaying a whole bunch of pain in your area. And then that pain is starting to turn to hope, because that's how conversations go. And then you let them dwell in that hope. Don't pounce. We learned that last time, right? And you just let them dwell in that possibility, right? Like, for instance, somebody might come to me and say, I really wish I just realized I could be charging four times as much. Well, I have no idea how to do that. That goes straight to the high ticket virtual retreat. You get it? Or they might say, like, I just, you know, when I'm out there, when I'm having a sales conversation, I know the person in front of me really needs my work, but I don't say yes, and I have no idea why. That might go right to practical applications, for instance. Or I want to do I've spoken in front of a bunch of audiences, but nobody ever steps forward. That might go to a number of places in the community, one of which is Mexico, right? Or I know I've got some inner stories that then they're holding me back. And they might not start with that, but as you ask more and more questions, they're going to be starting to ask questions, or you're going to be asking questions that are going to lead to them telling you about the pain in your area. And if they don't have pain in your area, refer them to somebody else, right? If they have pain in your area, but they need somebody else first, I still refer people to somebody else, because you only make an offer if you really think you can help that person. Anything else is nonsense, because if you can't actually help them, why would you make an offer? Right? So people get afraid that, you know, oh, somebody's going to try to sell me something. Well, nobody's going to end up feeling that way, because it's only when they're really deeply asking and wanting, because you've listened to them and they've expressed so much pain in your area. And then they've stood in the hope with you. It's like, wow, that could happen, but they don't quite know how yet. And then you go, wow, I have an idea, because they've already expressed the hope of what that world would look like. And it's something that you offer. And you say, I've got an idea. Want to see what it is? And then, and these words come from my friend Jennifer. Again, I've learned about sales from lots of different people. I teach about sales. I've also learned from many great, great teachers. But this piece from Jennifer, one of the things she teaches, she says that, you know, that thing that you were talking about, that XYZ, whatever it was, or XYZ for those in the States, right? We call it Z, XYZ, that you were talking about, that thing that you said, that's exactly what we do over here in practical applications. That's exactly what we do over here in whatever your program is. would you like to see what that might look like? It was that thing that you were asking me about, and we're trying to find your best next step. And you said that you wanted that, and you expressed that hope of what if it could be like that? Well, that's what I do. Do you want to see what that looks like? So it's just a natural conversation that happens then out of a deep, deep service. All right, so I just want to review where we were last time with offers and strategy sessions, that conversation. And a reminder of, I loved what Mary Kay said. It's like, well, those seven principles in that conversation that I had with Bonnie, strategy session magic, when I follow them, the sale closes. When I don't, it doesn't. And another piece that I want to give you too is that in general, what I learned from some of my teachers many years ago is that if we're closing, you know, 1 in 4, 1 in 5, 1 in 6, that's about right. That's about right. And it's going to vary by your area. It's going to vary by your experience and what you're offering and so on. But it's a nice rule of thumb. So if you're closing, everyone that comes to you is saying yes, what would that mean? What do you think? Everyone is saying yes. What would I take that as a cue for? Do you know? Sherry, go ahead.
Time to raise your prices.
Thank you. Exactly. If everyone is saying yes, you know, I'd be raising the prices for sure. When this community started, the first number of people that I asked, they all said yes. I wasn't being brave enough. I wasn't asking enough. Well, in hindsight, I was being as brave as I knew how to be at that time. I commend that earlier version of myself. But now in hindsight, I wasn't being brave enough to ask people, you know, if here's the inner circle, ask a little bit further out, a little bit further out. Do you understand what I'm saying? Starting with that close-in network and the people that I'm not as afraid to ask, maybe. But there's people in larger and larger circles, and I could have been asking more people. I could have been helping more people, but I just didn't quite feel ready yet. Yeah, go ahead, Mary Kay.
I just have a real question here. So there's two people that have been asking me, are you going to do this program again? Are you going to do it? Are you going to do it? And I haven't decided. And so does that mean I should raise the price for that?
Probably. Okay. If people are banging down your doors and you know, wanting your work. And about raising prices, for me, it's a very inward journey. There's inner part and outer part of that. So the inner journey is, here's a mindset piece, I guess. I can't ask my clients and potential clients to stand for all of who they are in whatever I'm helping them with if I'm not doing it myself. So let's say I'm charging and have charged $50, whatever that thing is, right? Or let me make it something different. Let's say I'm charging $5,000 for something. Doesn't matter what the number is. Let's say I'm charging $5,000 for something. And at first that's the right price, but then I'm growing and I'm learning stuff and the program is growing and it used to be aligned, but now I'm going like, oh geez, I really know that it's worth a lot more, but I'm kind of scared to ask it. And so I'm gonna listen to that small self and keep the price low because I'm too scared to raise the price to what I know it should be. So I'll just take less because who cares? I'm really not worth that much anyway. I mean, I'm kind of exaggerating, but not much. If that's somewhere my thought process, but then when people could potentially take a leap, I'm asking them to step up to all of who they are. There's a misalignment. If you heard what I said, raise your hand. Did you hear that? Most of you heard that. Yeah. Yeah. All of you heard that. Okay. So I'm listening inside. And sometimes, I'm at one of those places right now. I know that prices are probably going to be increasing sometime in the next 6 months. I'd be very shocked if they don't, because I know the place we've come since the last time I increased prices. And there's upward pressure on the prices. I can just feel it inside me. I can't tell you exactly when. It's not right yet, but it might even be next week or maybe 6 months from now. I'm not sure. But last time I said that, Marie was the one who was around last time. And Marie knows when I said that, within a couple of months, the prices went up. So there's an inner journey of that. And then there's the outward journey that is, are they all saying yes? It means I'm not asking enough people and I'm probably not charging enough. It's time for me to raise my prices. Doesn't mean I have to match that, you know, 1 in 3 saying yes, 1 in 4, 1 in 5, 1 in 6, but probably I need to raise my prices. If it's only 1 in 10 or 1 in 20 or 1 in 30 they're saying yes, I probably, you know, don't have my ideal client in front of me, or there's something of the skill of that conversation that I haven't mastered yet, or I'm just beginning. And one of my friends, it took her about 40 conversations before the first person said yes. Now a lot more people say yes. So don't be afraid of that as well. But it's kind of a benchmark. It kind of gives you some idea of, well, how am I going with those conversations? Am I getting the right people in front of me? Do I need to raise my prices? How's that conversation going? And the more of those conversations you have, the more skilled you become because you're listening to what it is they're saying to you, right? So I just wanted to do a little bit of a review of where we were before we move over onto the online world, because that's still a close-in conversation. And let me see, one more piece that I want to add. And and that's this. Give me 1 second here. So one of the ways to find what the transformation is, because you need to know what the transformation is that you offer. We talked about how to find that last time. We need to know who your ideal client is. I gave you multiple ways to find that last time. So reference last week's call. I'm not going to go over that today. But one of the ways I said you could find out what the transformation is talk to your clients. I'm always asking you guys, you know, what was most important about that? What did you get out of that? Or I'm surveying you so that I can understand better and better and better what matters to you. And we get some of our most important words from our clients. Remember one of my clients at one of the retreats, she said, Michelle, you know what I learned at this retreat? My words matter. And I'm like, oh, right. That's one of the things I'm teaching. She said it. I get it now. My words matter. It's one of the things I'm teaching. She named it. Next year, she said, Michelle, what I realized this year is I matter. All right, those things are connected. And that's part of what's being learned here because she named it. So you can talk to your clients. I want to add a little bit of nuance to that this week. And remember that piece that I mentioned but didn't go in detail about what's inside the party versus decorating the door. I've said that language, but I haven't explained it yet. Let me give an extreme example so you guys can really hear it easily. Let's say Marie, and we've been working together for years and years now. Let's say I asked Marie, what's the most important thing and what are you getting out of X, whatever it is that we're doing? Do you think that Marie might be differently positioned because we've been working together for years and years and years than somebody that I just met and I'm having an initial strategy session with? Do you think that there might be a difference in where they're positioned? All right, exactly. So, and let me see, so nice to see you here, Marie. I'm looking at, do I need anything that you need to say right now? Go ahead and jump in if there's something you want to add. But how I'm naming that is Marie is inside the party. She's been here right inside. You guys are all inside the party, right? Marie's been inside the party a while. So
I am the party.
You are the party. So if we say, you know, I might say something, she might say, well, what I'm getting out of it is, you know, my editor used to squawk a lot, but now my editor doesn't squawk as much anymore because I know that when I'm real with my words, just like when you talk to Dana, then I can go out and give a talk and then follow that with a strategy session that's really going to, you know, land. And some people outside the party might go, I don't know what the word editor means. I don't know what a strategy session is. What do you mean by decorate the door? They don't even have the language, much less the concept of it. And they might see what they're looking for as different from what Marie might be looking for. Does that make sense? So you can ask your clients, and it's a great thing to do. You know, what's the most important to you? What are you getting out of this? But just know that they're inside the party. And that's why it's so important to be having a million strategy sessions. Because you're talking to the people who are, you know, how are you going to find words to decorate the door? Because those are the people, they're knocking on the door, they're not inside the party yet. And they're saying, my pain is this. Here's why I'm coming to talk to you. I think you do something like this, don't you? And you get to find out what they're looking for. So it's helpful for me to talk to Marie to find out what she's looking for, but I need to remember she's already inside the party. What are those people who are knocking on the door? What are they looking for? And again, if I were just designing a course for Marie, I might say, you know, tame the editor. I probably wouldn't say in 10 easy steps because she would go, well, Michelle, sometimes going to be more nuanced than that. I might not even say that for her if I was just designing something for her. But if I'm designing something for people that are just knocking on the door, I'm going to call it like I do with my signature talk, stories that sell. 3 keys to gain confidence, inspire action, and sell more with powerful stories. That's my signature talk. Because I'm like, it's probably people, they want to sell stuff and they know that story maybe has something to do with it. This is like, I'm not selling as much as I like, and that's their top of mind problem. And so it's going to begin there, further down the corridor where they're knocking on the door. If you understood the difference between inside the party versus, you know, decorating the door for them, raise your hand. Because I just want to add that bit of nuance of how do you even find out who that ideal client is. If that felt confusing, raise your hand. So not everybody raise your hand. Okay, one of you, two of you. Okay. If it's confusing, it's always a teacher's fault. It's always my fault, right? So let me just, and I'll refer you to others because some people did hear that really clearly. And then I'm also just going to say it one more time because it's a couple of you. So let me just add this one more time. So people, let me say it like this. People who haven't worked with you yet have different, potentially different problems, and probably usually have different problems and concerns than people who've worked with you for a while. And so strategy sessions are really important because you're learning what the problems are of the people who haven't worked with you yet and learning their language and what matters to them. Because that's just going to be a little different than people who've worked with you for a little while. If you heard it this time, raise your hand. That's the essence of what I was saying. Clear? Okay, good. There was more nuance, a little bit more nuance than that, but that's the essence of it. All right, let's hear one or two ahas about offers and strategy sessions, and then we're gonna move on to some pieces about now how do we take that online in the training part of this call. So one or two ahas so that I know that we've like tied a bow on the offers and done what we can here, and then feel free to ask questions before our next and last call about practical applications. But what's one thing that you learned or one thing that you remembered, one thing that feels important, one thing that stays with you? Yeah, go ahead, Dottie.
I'd like to ask you to explain the door, what you just said about decorating the door. If in my mind, if I had a discovery call, mm-hmm. I would know what the person was interested in and be able to zero in. What's the something different? That's assuming what's the something different that you would do if you already knew the person?
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad you asked that question because it lets me add some nuance to this too. So when you said, I think I know why they're coming to me, I'm just gonna mute your line so we can hear. I think I know why they're coming to me. Here's what I would say. I have some idea about why they're coming to me, but that genuine individual real human being in front of me, I don't know the exact reason they're coming to me. I have a general idea. But Dottie, you might have come to me for a slightly different reason. Parallel, because you're in the same community, but not exactly the same as the reason Sergio came. And the reason that Sergio came, so I'm adding to what I said before. This is a different idea, but adding because of the question you asked. So Dottie might have come for a slightly different reason than Sergio. Sergio might have come for a slightly different reason than Mary Kay. So I have a general idea of what it might be about. I'm adding a different, this is a different point than I made earlier, okay? I have a general idea of why you're coming to me. It probably has something to do with you. You have something in your burning desire to get it out there because you're on a mission and you really want to serve people. Because I know that's an aspect of my ideal client, right? It might be that there's somebody in front of you and when you're making an offer, they haven't bought and you don't know why. It might be that you feel like tongue-tied in a networking situation and you don't quite know the words to say it. It's like it's on the tip of your tongue, but you don't quite know what to say it. It might be that you know that there's something bigger inside you, but you, maybe you're kind of thinking that you really ought to quadruple your prices and people have told you, but have no idea how to do that. And it's just not really achieving the results that you want. It might be any number of, those are some of the things that people sometimes come to me for, right? Or maybe it might've been your elevator pitch, right? People come for that kind of little piece of what story is. So I have some idea of what that person's coming to me for, but I don't actually know. I can't, if I don't presume to know and I actually stop to listen, I'm going to learn so much more. And Dottie's coming for some reason like that, but I don't know exactly what. So in that strategy session, my job is to listen and hear what it is she's at, what it is you're actually wanting, right, Dottie? And then I will also find out what it is in your language. Because you might speak quite differently than Mary Kay does, differently than Marla does. And just because, for instance, Mary Kay and Marla both work with horses doesn't mean they have the same language. doesn't mean they have the same ideal client, doesn't mean that they do things in the same way, even if we're in the same field, right? Or that they came here for the same reasons. So I have a general idea of why those people are coming, but I'm going to listen very specifically, quote, to what that person needs and wants. And if it's in the area of what it is that my the transformation, I'm going to help them see what might be possible for them in that area and give them the route there in that order. First, what might be possible, and then the route there, not the other way around, right? And what I was saying earlier is, so I have an idea of what they're wanting. And when you first knocked on the door, for instance, Dottie, it might be quite different than what Marie was asking for because she's been here a long time. And what you might be asking for now might even be quite different than what you were asking for 2 months ago because you've learned and grown, hopefully, right? All of us through our journey together. So you have different questions than before. So what is it that that initial person wants who's knocking on the door? And I want to know that more and more and more. And if I've talked to just Sergio, I learn one thing. If I've talked to Sergio and Marla and Sherry and Mary Kay and Dottie, I have a much bigger idea of who that person is and what they want. Because I've seen it in multiple different ways spoken by different people. It's not going to be exactly the same, but something is going to be similar. And it's in that transformation that I offer. And we talked about ways to find out what that is last time. Dottie, does that help? Did I answer the question?
No.
That's perfectly fine. Who got something out of what I just said, by the way?
Oh, I definitely got something.
You got something, but not the thing you wanted. Okay, perfect.
Right.
Go ahead. So ask one more time.
It's always good to hear that information again. I have learned that not to be a mind reader. So I probably misstated it. It wasn't what I thought they needed. It was what they told me they needed. In the question was, what is the difference between decorating the door? What's it called?
Oh, decorating the door and inside the party.
Pardon me?
Decorating the door versus inside the party.
Right. Yeah. So I'm not mind reading. I'm starting to work on what they said they'd like to work on. And I know you're really good at, and it's helped me to keep asking, is this what you're wanting? Is this the, you know, is that clear? Or, you know, keep asking those kinds of questions. But my question was, what's the difference between at the door and in the party?
Got it. Okay. So real simple answer, and then we're going to go on to some online work here. So decorating the door, this is the language we use with those initial clients at the very beginning when they don't know any of our language. Okay, I'm just going to mute your line so we can hear. Inside the party, you guys, for instance, are all inside the party. I can say, when your editor kicks up a fuss, that's an old story, and we just have to transmute that in order to make a change and find out what your core values are. A lot of you would have understood that sentence. People out there have no idea because they're not inside the party. Okay, good. All right, where I want to go to now is let me see. Go straight there. Yeah, we're going to go straight there. So I want to head over to, so now we have been out networking and we have given a talk. And whether you're, you know, whether you've done that yet or you're in the process of doing that, we've talked about how to do that. And then you've given an offer in a strategy session. And now how do we translate that over to online? I want to emphasize we start in close and then move to far away. I would not start with a website and Facebook ads. It's just like asking for trouble and making it hard and often throwing money down the drain. But once we have maybe not mastered, it's not 100%, but we've started over there and we've got strategy sessions that are working. And when we network, people are interested and they're asking for our card. And when we give a talk, people are asking for a free gift and so on and so forth. Well, now, what is it that I should do when I am further away? When I'm not close in, I'm not networking one-on-one, on that one-on-one strategy session, you know, I'm online and maybe we could talk about that next call to Facebook ads or whatever it is, but what are the pieces that I ought to be doing online anyway? And then how do I construct those words so that people will hear me? The very first thing I'd say is reference all the other calls, because when I've networked and then I've given talks and I've been in those strategy sessions and so on, those are the places where I'm going to find the words that are actually going to be put up on the page online. Depending on where you are, I would not, not depending on where you are, wherever you are in your business, I would not start with a website. It might be slightly industry dependent, who, you know, what it is, the work that you're doing. But not even, I don't think that it is. I was trying to think, are there exceptions where you start with a website? I would start with an opt-in page. Start with an opt-in page. You can build a website after. And an opt-in page, it's just something where there's a single call to action and you're collecting names and then people go onto your list, right? And you can put up an opt-in page practically overnight. My first website took me 9 months and, you know, five figures to create and brought me zero business. It's really pretty. I still have it up. I haven't had the heart to take it down because it was a labor of love and it's really freaking beautiful. And it brought me, I'm pretty sure, no business for $10,000 or $20,000 of investment. I wish somebody else had told me this. So don't do the website first, just a simple opt-in page. And what do you put on that opt-in page? Well, what have you been hearing about what people's top of mind problem is? As you've been networking, as you've been doing those strategy sessions, what are people telling you that it is what that they're looking for? And what is it that you think you offer? What's a transformation? All those things that we learned in the previous call, all that's going to be up there online. And when I say online, it's opt-in pages. It's if you're building an email sequence afterwards, they stem from those same principles. So the first thing I would do is have an opt-in page where you give away a free gift. And what free gift are you going to give? Well, what's the top of mind problem that people have? What is it that they're trying to solve? And then give them something in that area. So for instance, if I'm a videographer, I might say, or if I'm a photographer, say, I might say, and I'm working with entrepreneurs, I might say the three must-have shots that every entrepreneur needs. Yeah, the three must-have photos that every entrepreneur needs, and the one photo they must not have if they want their business to fly. Wouldn't you want to know that? Like, oh my goodness, I need these three photos. I would not say where to put the f-stop and whatever, and all that technical language that I don't know and I don't care about. What's the top of mind problem for my client, right? It might be, if I'm in sales, for instance, I might say the three biggest sales mistakes that most entrepreneurs make and the one thing they need to do to fix it. So whatever their top of mind problem is and something that will fix things right here, right now, right away. Sherry has a lovely free gift, right? Now, here's 101 ways to save, I can't remember the exact title of it, right? But 101 ways to save money if you're in the area, if you're in the field of money, right? Really cool that I can use right here, right now, and I can save money today, right? So it might be a list. It might be an e-guide. And these things are trendy. Some people will say, this thing is good now. This thing is good later. I don't think it matters that much. I mean, I think people are saying right now that e-guides aren't trendy, but our e-guide closes really, really well. I don't think it matters that much. It's just, you know, follow the trends. You can just create something that answers a top of mind question of your ideal client. And that's something to do right away. It can be just the top, let's see, Brianna Day, Sandra Yancey's daughter, she had the top 10 apps that every, it's not just hairstylist, the top 10 apps that every beauty professional should have. And she's like, her market is beauty professionals. So it's like, and they all want to know what apps to have. And she's a millennial, right? So, and then they want her free gift and then it starts a conversation with that person, right? So you want to create a free gift. And if you have questions about that, you can post it for next time, how you create that. And I just wanted to share with you a couple of our opt-in pages so that you can get an idea of what to put online. And we went through this really quickly in response to a question several weeks ago. But now we have the building blocks of all the other pieces that we've done close in so that this should be pretty obvious. The biggest thing that I want to say about anything online is most people put up too much stuff. There's a book, what's it called? Building Your Story Brand. I think that's where I read this. He did a survey of an audience once, and because the guy said, listen, I don't really know how to fix my website. And you're saying we should just have one thing that we're calling them to, one call to action. We can't do that because we do like 20 different things. And so his website was a whole mishmash of a whole bunch of things. You can do this or that or that or that or that. Nobody knew what to do when they came to the website. So he surveyed the audience and he said, okay, here's his original website with all this stuff over here. And here's the website that we want him to build. And I think he said, like, well, I want you to imagine getting rid of all this stuff that they've worked and invested in, all this stuff, and just say, we paint all kinds of shit. Click here if you want more information, whatever it was, right? And the entire audience of 300 people said it would be better to get rid of all this stuff that he invested all this in for the website and say, we paint shit, you know, a whole bunch of shit, right? Sorry for language, right? But, you know, and click here to get our guide for the 10 best things about painting or whatever it was, right? So really simple, simple stuff. It talks to their top of mind problem and has them take one single action. That's why an opt-in page is better. And an opt-in page, that's just where you ask somebody to give you their email address in exchange for something you're giving them. They get to opt in, all right? Let me just share. Make it full screen. Goodness. Let me just share a couple of our pages so you can see what it looks like, all right? Let me start with, so here is the opt-in page for Anatomy of an Empowering Story. This page converts really, really, really well compared to industry standards. And mostly you want to get stuff out of the way, not rocket science, right? Story freedom, access to power, story to create the business you love. Anatomy of an Empowering Story, that's the name of the e-guide. Why your personal story can be a great game changer for your business. Oh, I want a game changer for my business. I know story has something to do with it. This guide will help you do a couple things. This is not even a fantastic opt-in page, I wouldn't say. It's just like, here's a couple things it'll do. And the line, start tapping into the power story to bring greater ease, close more sales, have more fun. Single action brings a cascade of positive results, all because you understand how story works. So it's really clear. If I get this, I'm going to find out why my personal story could be a game changer for my business. People are coming here already with some idea that story matters in some way, but it's built for entrepreneurs. There's a picture of the thing itself. There's a little bio, a little blurb about me. That's it. Not a lot of stuff in the way, and there's only one thing to do. Give me instant access, click here. That's all they can do. So build opt-in pages before a website. And even a website, on every page, there's only one thing they should do. Make it really, really clear, right? And, so that's an example, and that's just at anatomyofanempoweringstory.com. You can also just find it on my website, michellegunderson.com. That's an example of an opt-in page for a free gift. Another kind of opt-in page, you can have an opt-in page for a talk you're giving. And if you can either go out and find somebody who will invite you into their group to give a talk, or you can start giving your own talk, start having them in your living room, offer on Facebook to give a talk to people. You can do that too, right? Hey, I'm going to give a talk. Who wants to come? And you gather a room full of five people. And just think, if usually you should be closing about maybe 1 in 3, 1 in 4, 1 in 5 people. If you've got a living room full or 5 people virtually on a call, and then they come to strategy sessions, that could be one sale out of those people, so long as they're basically in your ideal client zone, right? So simple things can make a profound difference. So here's an opt-in page for our, it's one of our preview calls, right? Michelle presents a masterclass. I don't create this. Amy creates this for me. I don't do those graphics and so on. You don't have somebody else in their zone of genius doing that stuff. And this one is just called, I think the URL is michellegunderson.com/innergold. That's where we put this one. So this talk is called Transmuting Inner Dirt to Inner Gold. That's actually not a very good title because nobody knows what transmuting means. But I just liked it. I wanted that word transmuting in. I chose a title that's bad because I just wanted it, right? Because I want to highlight that word transmuting, even though that's an inside the party word. But I could get away with that because the subtitle says something concrete and specific. Transmuting inner dirt to inner gold. People have no idea what that means. I would just like the title, so I kept it anyway. 3 surprising sources for your next great achievement. I want to achieve stuff. The numbers usually work well in titles. People respond better to titles. So you'll see a lot of, and threes work well. We'll see threes in our titles often. 3 surprising sources for your next great achievement. And then these are some of the things that are, sometimes we call this pillow talk. This is what, you know, somebody rolls over when they're, you know, laid in bed with their loved one. They go, oh my God, I'm just feeling like, not some canned marketing speak, but what they're actually feeling like. And these are the kinds of things you're hoping that they're going to start to tell you in a strategy session or when you're networking, because you're always listening to people and always listening and always being like Thomas Tadlock and trying to help solve people's problems, whatever they are, whether they're in your field or not, you're practicing this, listening to what it is that people want and need. So here are some we might call enrolling questions. Maybe somebody would roll over in bed and go, I'm so tired of having the same results over and over again. I really don't know if I can even achieve that thing that I want. You know, people tell me I'm successful. I really don't feel that way. Something they would say to themselves, right? You need just the right tools to find the gold. And then, so it's a couple of enrolling questions. And then what the promise is. Mind your pressure points, challenges, and blind spots for the very answers you're seeking. And this is, starts explaining what that transmitting means. They won't know that consciously, but that's okay. Discover how to use every experience in your life and work to create a powerful launch pad for your next greatest business success. And then often it's good to have 5 bullet points. So enrolling questions, what the transformation is, break it down into 5 parts, something that they're going to want. I really want to land the next high value client. How am I going to do that? How to turn obstacles into fuel for your success. This is simple language. There's no rocket science here. How to write stories that will magnetize money and clients. And then you can see there's a couple of give me access. So it's there's only one thing they can do on this page. There's 3 times here, right? In the middle, at the bottom, and at the top. Click here. And when they click here, they just put in their name. We asked for their email and their cell phone number. We didn't before. First name and last name and cell phone number. Your list is worth much more when you have full names and cell phone numbers. So once you've got a list of 50,000 or 100,000, I don't have that, 100,000 people or whatever, your list is going to be worth much more. And in the industry, they say, you know, your list is your retirement. Your list is your gold. And it's worth much more than if you just have a first name and an email. So we ask for it and most people fill it in. So I think we make the first name and the cell phone and the email, they have to, and the others maybe are optional. Like if they don't fill out the cell phone number, they'll still land on our list. The vast majority of people will fill that out. So that's an example of one of our pages, and you'll see the pages, this one looks just the same, right? Amy found that picture, I didn't. And here's the title of this talk. Again, the title has the transformation right in the title, Stories That Sell. I know people want to sell stuff. They think story has something to do with it. They're probably in my ideal client zone. And then 3 things they want right away. I don't always feel confident. I don't know how to make people do stuff. I want to sell stuff. Goes right to their pain points, right? Top of mind problem. And this one doesn't use enrolling questions, but it's almost like that. If you've ever felt like this, lots more pillow talk here. I'm talking, but nobody hears me. And then the transformation, and then the 5 bullet points. And then what you're going to get out of this, claim the spot, and then the bio. Right? This one isn't coming up. When it's coming up, it's active and has a countdown clock. And again, I don't know how to do any of these things. This is my team that does this. And so this one is for a free gift. These 2 are for talks. Don't have more than 1 talk when you begin. I did just this talk for over 3 years. There weren't any other talks. And just in the last year, I've been in a creation mode. And I've been creating lots of stuff. Don't do that early on. Until you have a talk that's converting, build 1 talk. I kept this talk for almost 4 years. That's all I ever used, right? 1 talk. And then this one is for practical applications. We built this one this year. And the reason that I decided to launch it this summer, I decided to launch practical applications this summer in order to build this page, because I thought if I'm going to launch it, I will end up coming up with these modules. But I didn't have what these modules were until the 3rd time teaching it. I just went ahead, right, ready, fire, aim, went ahead and taught it several times. And then I figured out the order that we're teaching it. And now we're here in module 6, even though it's our 7th call, right? Oh, the key mistake to avoid in your copy if you want people to hear you. I'm really glad we got to this page because I got to make sure that I tell you that. The key mistake to avoid if you want people to hear you. Is to what most people do is they try to move too quickly. And they drift away from their top of mind problem. So let me share my page one more time. Let me see, let's go over to, not sure which one I want here. A page that would make a mistake, it would be like moving too quickly and not staying with where their mind is. Trying to be inside the party instead of decorating the door. If I put on this page something like, right from the start, if I said, tomorrow you could increase your fees fivefold and actually receive it. And also some of the things that you guys are reporting. And you could, when you're going, like what Marla just said, for instance, at the beginning of the call, and you could, instead of having to go ask that person to go do a clinic, you'll have them asking you, come to the call. Well, that just happened. Marla's inside the party, and you guys know that that actually happens. Or they're going to go, yeah, you know, it's going to feel too far away for them. It's going to feel like, yeah, that's not really real. She's just making that stuff up. Gotta start with where they are and what their top of mind problem is and what their pain is. It's like, man, it's just happening over and over again. And I, you know, let them be where they are and then don't try to move too quickly. What does their mind actually feel like, right? And how do you know how their mind actually feels like, what it feels like? Because we started close in. Do you get how all this works? And then move to far away. We've been having those strategy sessions. We've been networking. We've been doing all those things that we've talked about. And those things that they've said, we just go and put them on the page. And then we add a little bit of structure like I just showed you. But it's not very much. It's a couple enrolling questions. Don't put too much on the page. Tell them what they're going to get out of that call. In very simple language. Break it down into the top 5 points that they're going to get. And then have a bunch of buttons that say click here. And keep other stuff out of the way. Keep it super, super simple. All right. So that's taking it from close in, moving to far away. Yeah, go ahead, Dottie. Don't forget, you're muted.
Couple quick questions. I thought that you repeated the talk graphic. So are you recommending that we do that? We only pick out one graphic, and even if we just keep sending that one?
You know, here's the general principle behind what you're asking. And again, I'm going to mute you. Keep it simple. It's not rocket science. And I wouldn't even recommend that you have more than one talk. One talk until that talk is converting. So you don't even have to worry about that problem. And also, you know, to be honest, until I looked at that page, I couldn't have told you whether it had the same graphic or not, because I'm not the one doing it. I have no idea. That part to me, even though I know there's a whole science behind that, and you can hire people to go, well, you know, if it's a color, there are people who do that kind of work. If it's blue versus if it's red versus, I'm like, whatever. Let's get the basics down first that matter oh so much more. And that's all the things that we're learning here at Practical Applications. So keep it simple and the least, kind of the law of least effort. Do the least for the most result.
Can you give me us the order. When do you, the goal is to get it, is that they would want to do a discovery call, right?
Right.
So you send all of these things, and then at what point do you offer the discovery call?
Right. I'm really glad you asked that question. It's a great, great question. And we'll have more time for questions next time. Again, please, our last call in Practical Applications is next time, is Thursday. It's going to be this Thursday. I'm just going to meet you again. So please ask your questions, whatever you want to know. It's our last call for Practical Applications. So I wouldn't even be building these right away. depending, and everybody's in a different place in their company in this community. But I would be building it in exactly the order that we talk about in practical applications. I would go, in fact, almost a little bit different order. I would go out meeting some people, and I would have a real live body of a person in front of me and say, hey, you know, because they're expressing pain in your area. And you say, would you like to meet where we could, you know, happy to have a call where we can just figure out what your best next step is. You want to do that? Real informal language. And they're like, sure. How much is it going to cost? Well, nothing. I'm just going to help you. You know, we're just looking for, well, one language. Yeah. You can just say nothing. We're just seeing if there's, I'm just going to help you find the best next step. There's maybe there'll be a fit between what I do and what you're looking for, but if not, you know, there's no charge. I'm just going to try to help you. And usually I find that it doesn't even get that far. I'm just saying to them, hey, do you want to meet? And most people, but if they really are expressing pain in your area, they're really genuinely pleased. And they're like, sure, like, let's have a call. So direct with people that I'm actually meeting. And then you can go from networking to actually giving a talk, real live talk with live bodies in front of you in your living room or wherever it is, right? And then those people you invite to a strategy session. And then the next step out is to offer a free gift, have an opt-in page for that. And then you're going to be, at first you're going to be driving people. It's not Facebook ads and so on. You're going to be telling people to go, hey, I've got this. You're going to be networking with them and say, hey, I've got a free gift. You want that? But you're probably not even going to go there first. You're going to see if they'll come to a conversation. And by the way, when you're coming to the conversation, why don't you go read my free gift first? So it's very low-tech things that make things move very, very quickly. And then once you've built those things, then you can start having those opt-in pages online. But, you know, those came after. I didn't have any of those at first, and they didn't look like that at first. Begin super low-tech, talking to real people, and then it's a little further away. And then once these things are working, then you can start doing all those, you know, Facebook ads and all those things are further away, but start really close in. So that opt-in page is just so you have a place where somebody other than you can be collecting those names, right? So some kind of virtual assistant you can get. You can start out with somebody really not very expensive. I didn't do that. I went to the kind of the top of the line to begin before I was ready, but didn't use her for very many hours. That's how I kept the cost down at first, because I just wanted somebody who knew what to do. So I didn't have to spend time doing that. So I could be out talking to one more person. Because especially if you're starting high ticket, you can hire somebody for 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 or, I think it was $80 an hour that I started with my first person. That's a higher end person. You can hire them for a lot of hours when you close even one conversation. And that person that's paying you can pay for a lot of those hours. So you're not spending 10 hours getting that put up. Instead, you're having 10 conversations. All right. So it's a great question. Thank you for that, Dottie. All right. So I think what I'd like to do, it's already 2 o'clock at my house. So we're going to wrap up this call. And I know there wasn't time for a lot of questions, but we didn't have a lot of questions posted. Every single one of you can post a question if you choose, and it's right in your inbox how you do that over there in Story Freedom Academy. It can be a short question. It can be a long question. Ask me your questions. And next time around, we're going to talk about all those other places where we need to use words, right, in our companies. So from joint venture partners to team to an email campaign to, there's, you know, everywhere where your company is, affiliates and so on. That's where we're using words and branding. We could do many, many things. I could be training a whole year. So if you ask me your questions, we'll go to those places that you want and need on our call next time. So let's finish up this call with one aha and one inspired action. What's one thing that you remember that that opens something up for you? And then one way that you want to take this into your real world, a check-offable action so that we know we're actually doing stuff and it doesn't remain as just some kind of theoretical knowledge that we don't take action on. One aha, one inspired action. Sherry, you're up in my upper left-hand corner. You're up first.
I think my biggest aha probably came out of the whole opt-in page conversation, that it can be very, very simple. And I've been seeing that in action, and I may go back and retweak the one I've been using a little, but I'm seeing how effective that can be. And then the inspired action is relooking at my opt-in page and mm-hmm. continuing to look for those opportunities for offers.
Yeah, fantastic. It's super, it's so simple. Mostly we have so many words in the way. Hey, here's something that could help you. You know, in their language that we've learned from being close in, click here, right? Not getting rid of all the stuff that's in the way is the thing that makes the biggest difference. Simple, simple, simple. Thank you, Sherry. Beautiful. Marla, you're up.
I think because right now I'm working on the presentation for the Certified Horsemanship Association, it was the keeping it simple and don't get drawn away from the major points.
Yes. All I need to tell them is, hey, I know you're hurting. Here's some of the things that this will help you with.
Right.
Actual, real. And that's why, again, when we're practicing that close in with real people, we remember to be real and all that marketing speak just gets in the way. Here's something that will actually genuinely help you. Do you want to come? Invitation. Yeah, beautiful. Thanks, Marla. And what's your inspired action?
To keep it simple.
And how do we make that a check-offable action? So maybe the very next thing you're going to do, how are you going to keep it simple so that you know you've actually brought it out into the world?
I think it's to make sure that I stay focused on that one major point in my presentation.
Mm-hmm. What's the one thing that I'm going to help them with so that they know? I think, again, in that book, with Building Your Story Brand, is it's called, or Story Brand, he says, like, somebody who's a caveman should be able to come up and go, oh, this is what it's about. You know, like, it should be direct, you know? It's, you know, I think the example he used is, it sell aspirin, it make head stop hurting. You know, this is going to be really clear. Yeah, thank you. Beautiful. Dottie, you're up.
I also loved the part about how to start the communication. And I also love the keep it simple.
Beautiful. And then, so what's your inspired action? What's the one check-offable thing you're going to do so we know you're bringing this out into your world?
In writing the opt-in page, just to put a big note to myself, keep it simple. Only yes. short and simple.
Short and simple. Not all those words that get in the way. Beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Carly and Barb and Donna, you're here. But I can't see if you can speak. So if one of you can speak, just open up your line. I want to give a moment just to see if you're able to. You might be in a place where you can hear, but you can't speak. Barb, so great to see you. So you're aha and your inspired action.
The reminder that the opt-in page is all you need to get started. Focus on one point that you need just one talk.
Yes.
For a while.
Even years, right? Years. Yes. Good. Thank you for underlining that.
And my action is going to be work on my opt-in page. Right now it's right on my homepage. And so I guess mm-hmm. it needs to come off.
Move. Yeah. Yes. Just to get, I have a place where you can send people where they just do one thing and you can start a conversation with them and you get them on your list. And then you're in a conversation, right? And then you can start sending them stuff of value and being in a real relationship with them. Because online, we have just a few seconds to grab their attention. So what we want to do is say, hey, enter into a longer relationship. And here's how. If you give me your information, I will give you something that matters to you. It's like such, it's so, so very simple. Yeah, but with it. Yes, beautiful. Thank you. Love it. Carly, are you in a place where you can speak? And if not, that's fine. Then you can go and post it on the Facebook page. Keep the conversation going there. Okay, thank you so much. I hope that you received at least one thing from today's call that you can go away, play with in your company, and always know if there's just even one thing, one change that you make, that you know, one change every time you need, that changes your company, changes the world. So thanks so much for being here today. Have a fantastic couple of days, everybody. Remember, our next call, the last call in Practical Applications, is 2 days from now on Thursday, our usual time, 12:30 Mountain Time. Please post your questions, and we'll be talking about all those other places where we use words and any questions that you have about anything that we've done in practical applications. Where are you in your company right now? What do you need help and support with? And that's where we're going to go. So have a great couple days, everybody. I'll see you in a couple days at Practical Applications, and then next week for Story Freedom. Bye-bye for now. Have a great day.